One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dave. No, that's not me. No, who am I? No, I'm Ryan. Hey. That's Dave. That's Bobby. This is the Degenerate Podcast.
I'll be Ryan if we're switching. I mean,
do your best Ryan, Dave.
I can't even do it.
Hey, it was pretty good for a second.
I can't even live. I can't do it at all. I'm just done with everything.
Do I have a story for you guys?
Oh, do you?
Yes, yes. Now, as you guys know, my wife, Erin, she does fetish photography. She's been doing...
Yes, she does.
Yeah, she's been doing fetish modeling for a very long time, but she's decided to get behind the camera. I got a really nice Canon T6 for Christmas, and she's been doing great work with it. The thing is, though... There's a lot of interesting people coming and going in my house now.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
He just shows up and there's a guy walking out with like a tortoise over each arm wearing bondage gear. Hey, what's up?
You're not far off. The other night, Tuesday night, there was a dominatrix in my house.
Oh.
And I come home.
Sounds like a regular Tuesday at the Shore's house.
Yeah, right. It's becoming that way. I come home and she's just naked in my dining room, just standing there, just naked. And in my first reaction, I know that sounds awesome to people listening, like, dude, this guy just comes home and there's naked random chicks
in his
house.
It's my birthday.
Yeah, right.
Ryan's like, I'm being set up. I know I'm being set up.
No, my reaction when I come home and there's a nude person I don't recognize in my house is, sorry. So I'm like covering my eyes, which is a weird reaction. Because that means anyone listening could break into my house nude and my first reaction would be to apologize to you. I don't know why. But anyway, I'm like covering my eyes like, sorry. And nudity is just part of her life. So she's like, no, you're fine. It's cool.
Yeah.
And then she just wants to have a conversation with me. Like, she's not naked. I'm like, she's like, so your wife says you're a comedian. Is that a fun line of work? I'm like, yeah. Can I get you a towel or like a robe?
So or could you just do jumping jacks? Let's just up this a notch if we can't put it down a notch.
So anyways, I go. My friends are over. We go in the garage to have beers and play some music and jam and stuff while we leave them alone to do their photography, right? So around like 9 o'clock at night, a car pulls up in my driveway. No one gets out of it. They just park in front of my driveway. I'm like, oh, that must be for old naked in there. Mm-hmm. So I go in there. I'm like, hey, Sydney, I think your Uber's here. And she goes, oh, that's not an Uber. That's my friend.
There's always a problem in the long pause. The long pause with the generic word following it means there's something weird and specific going
something
on.
Something is afoot.
Yeah, there's details being left out.
So anyways, I'm like, well, does he want to come in for a beer? Me and my friends are having beers out there. She goes, no, he does not get to come in. And I'm like, okay. And I just went back to the garage. Now, in that car, this little man looking scared sits in his car for an hour and a half.
What?
Hour and a half. I keep poking my head in. She's just having wine with Erin, having a good old time. And I'm like, you know, he's still out there. She's like, I know. I'm like, all righty. Meanwhile, me and my friends have become the King of the Hill guys. We're just staring at them from the top of my driveway with beers. Like, what do you think of that, Mike? So anyways, he just sits there. Finally, after 90 fucking minutes, she comes out. Like, claps her hands, and he runs out, gets her bags, puts it in the car, and they drive off. And then Erin explains it to me. She goes, well, that's her submissive.
He's definitely a sub, for sure, dude.
So I'm like, so what's that mean? Like, it's her boyfriend? She's like, no, it's her sub. He pays her a monthly subscription for her to be mean to him and do, like, mean things, like, make him pick her up and then keep him waiting for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's his gig, dude, is to be treated like shit.
Yeah, that's, like, part of it for him. And
this is so weird.
And, like, he pays extra money for, like, her to take her out to dinner and make him sit at a different table. Like, things like this.
Listen, I've heard of this kind of stuff before. I'm not a, like, guy who would be into the whole getting whipped or, like, all that stuff. But at least to me, there's, like, I can see how there's a sexual connotation to
right,
that stuff.
Right, yeah.
The stuff where it's like, all right, you're going to pay me money and then I'm going to talk shit about your dog. Like, why is this sexual to you?
Well, I mean, at least that's contact. This is like a lack of contact, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, well, like, they bone though, right? Like, there's got to be some kind of release. Like, she treats him like shit,
right?
Like, for like a few days, and then they bone, and she tells him he's bad at it. It's like, no, she's not a prostitute. They don't have sex. He doesn't get to touch her. She just is mean to him, and he sends him on his way.
Can I ask? And I don't want to be a judgment guy. I really don't. But can I just ask, what the fuck did this guy's mom do to him? Like, what did
the
he
same
just,
thing. That's what she did to
him. Did he wake up every day while his mom looked at him and said, you have a bad penis and you're going to be a horrible human?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not here to kink shame, like you said. Whatever you're into, you're into. Right. I get it. Here's my only question. Why are you paying for that?
Yes.
Wait. If you are in to like women like being dismissive and rude and not fucking you,
get on Bumble.
Have I got a list of ex-girlfriends for you, dude?
Exactly.
Here's everyone I dated from 06 to 2012.
Yeah.
If you're into them treating you like shit and not fucking you, you really can't pick a bad one. Here's the thing, though. I want to tell them, like, here's the thing. The first few months, you're going to have to tough it out because they're going to want to fuck you a bunch and be nice to you to get your guard down. Yeah. But trust me, after those first 3 months, nothing but verbal abuse and emotional terrorism. You're going to love it.
And you don't have to pay for that. Literally, you can just go find the hottest 23-year-old at the bar, go walk up to her and say, you'll never have to bone me. I will drive you around places and you can treat me like shit. And they'll be like, thankfully, I do that anyway. I'll just do that to you.
No, don't say that. Just say, hi, how's it going?
Yeah,
she's going to go, fuck you, you stupid bitch. And you're going to go, oh.
That'd be great.
Everyone's looking for a good woman, and they're very hard to find. The world is littered with women that will treat you like shit for free.
Oh, absolutely.
They're in it because they love it.
Let's start our own. I think this would be great. It's kind of like Tinder, but it'll be called The Bargain Masochist. And it'll just link guys with this fetish up with asshole chicks that we know. We could do the same for women, but I feel like they don't have this as much. Like, I don't feel like there's
a lot of... Oh, I couldn't imagine a woman being into that.
I don't feel like there's a lot of women who are paying for dudes to treat them like shit. And
no, again, there's already plenty of that going on just for gratis.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a very weird thing. I do wonder what the neurological basis of that is. Like, I always wonder, like, what is it that makes that person like that? And I know everybody has their own kinks. Hey, I love big ladies. I'm not judging anybody for liking anything. But it doesn't stop me from wondering how it got started. Like, what is the seed that
gets
planted?
Well, you used to be fat, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, there it is.
Well, maybe.
Dr. Shores.
But, like, I always wonder what the seed that gets planted is that makes people, like, into certain things. What do you think happened to that person at just the right time? Like, were they 11 and a half and some super hot teacher scolded them really hard and made them feel embarrassed in front of the whole classroom? And the embarrassment got linked to the sexualness of that super hot substitute teacher, and that's...
I think that's... more leaning towards finding a body in someone's freezer, but you know.
Right, but that's what I'm thinking too. Like with this, now we talked about kink shaming, but I think there's a fine line between a kink and a serious psychological issue.
Sure.
Like, yeah, that's true.
When you look at this guy on the surface, like he pays for this abuse, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that he snaps at some point. Like even though he wants it, he pays for it, he just gets pushed too far and then he's got bodies in the freezer. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It is always funny because I also think of that as a father. Like, I think about it with my kid. I'm like, all right, first of all, you're not allowed to see a woman's feet between the ages of like 11 and 13 when you form your sexuality. I don't want you into the weird shit. You can't do that. No one's going to tie you up and whip you between those ages. There's like a certain like set of ages.
Oh, you tell that kid he's not allowed to look at feet. I got news for you. He's liking some feet later in life.
All of a sudden.
Now, we're all older. We grew up like pre-internet porn. So we had like magazines, Find Your Dad,
Woods
Stash
porn.
Magazine. Yeah. So Bobby, I feel like Bobby's going to start stashing magazines of like fat naked women, like trying to get his son. Oh, this is the way, son.
Like father, like son.
What else happened? Oh, I had a heckler this week.
Yeah. I remember you posting about that. Interesting.
Yeah. You know what?
Hecklers themselves are not necessarily that unique, but the type of entitled heckler that you got this week did seem to be a little bit off the norm.
So I was doing a show in the hip part of town, the young person part of town, North Park.
Mm-hmm.
Good show, full room. They came to see comedy. It was great.
Right.
Kind of the worst kind of heckler, though. She was the type that isn't saying anything directly to me at first. She's having a loud conversation at her table whilst everyone else is being quiet and I'm doing my act.
Because again, super entitled. She was there for her. She doesn't give a shit about you or the show or any of the people.
Right. If you broke hecklers up to drunken, angry dude, bachelorette party, and then entitled person deciding they want to speak in the middle of a show and not seeing a problem.
Right.
This
she's got
the
a
entitled person.
She's got a great Snapchat story that she has to share with her friend right then.
Cannot wait. She might forget.
Oh yeah.
So anyways, it was two of the mentioned hecklers. It was the talking loudly at the table and then comes at me when I interrupt her. So because I interrupted her. So here's how it's going. I'm doing my act. I'm halfway through and I'm halfway through a long bit, and I know that from experience, I can't stop to address the heckler,
right,
or this joke is lost. The second half is gone, and the first half was for nothing because no punchline came of it. So I'm like, all right, I'll deal with this in 1 second. I'll just get through this joke, and then I'll address the situation. While I'm in the middle of my story, the promoter, at the urging of his girlfriend, who was a fabulous lady, by the way, he walked up to him, and I saw him say something like, hey, guys, you gotta keep it down. And they just kind of looked at him and went, I'm sorry, was I being loud? Sometimes I'm loud. And then went right back to the conversation.
Wow.
Like, anyway, so I told him, if he doesn't call me, I don't play games. And
not only are, there takes a certain asshole to, like, be doing that to interrupt a performer, but also think about it from the perspective of the rest of the audience. They literally don't care that everybody else is there to see this.
No, they don't care at all.
They're there to see the comedy, and they're not just being an asshole to the performer. They're being an asshole to each and every person in that room. And the amount of narcissism it takes to do that with zero idea, no self-awareness, is mind-boggling.
Right?
So she's a bit of a party girl. She looks about 21, you know. She's having her drinks and...
Plot twist. That's Shores' kink, is to have someone disrespect him from the crowd.
My kink
he
is
pays
that.
This woman to go to different shows.
So anyways, now one person has told her to please keep it down. Then an audience member next to him, and I love when this happens because it really shows you the rest of the room is on your
side. Right. Yes.
Because as a comedian, you're thinking, is this my fault that I lose their attention? Am I being boring up here?
Right.
And that was going through my head for sure. And then all of a sudden this one guy turns and goes, dude, shut the fuck up. And I'm like, me or her. So anyways, then she kind of like hisses at him or something. Finally, I'm like, you know what? Fuck the rest of this joke. Lady, shut the fuck up. I'm serious. I'm like, I'm choosing not to ruin you right now.
Right.
I have those skills. Yeah. I am choosing not to use them. I understand that I've lost your attention, and that's my fault. But please be quiet.
Yeah.
And
then by the way, picking a verbal fight with a comedian on stage with a microphone is the equivalent of picking a physical fight with an MMA fighter who already has his gloves on.
Yeah. So,
but it's the person who thinks they know how to beat them.
Yes,
like, they just
true.
Are convinced, like, oh, I got this.
Well, like we talked about, people start shit with Chuck Liddell at clubs all the time.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's very true.
Anyways, then she says this, and I don't think in my 9 years of doing stand-up that anyone has ever done this to me. She goes, you think you can tell me to shut up because I'm brown and you're white? And I went,
oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
At that point, I want another brown woman, so it would be acceptable to just stand up and head kick this bitch. Because let me tell you, one, you're being a known bitch. Everybody around you, you've now gotten commented from numerous other people to shut the fuck up. And now you're trying to play some kind of pathetic race card in the middle of it?
Oh, and by the way, there are other people of color there, and that comment made her lose the room. If they didn't like her before, they really didn't like that. And by the way, she was obviously had some kind of money, all right?
Right.
I know I'm stereotyping. I don't know her story. I don't know her story. But I'm gathering. She's 21 years old. Dad's picking up at least a little bit of the tab, you know. And,
right. It's a hip spot. I know the show. I know where you are.
I'm looking at her, and I don't see struggle. Can we just say that? I don't see a lot of repression from Poway.
Right.
So anyways, that turned the room against her. But there was that moment of fear where I'm like, don't say the wrong thing.
Am I going to be on a YouTube video later?
Yes, I'm worried about that guy.
Yeah.
Like white comedian talks down to brown audience member.
Well, how'd you respond? How do you respond to that?
First of all, I didn't need to. The room did it for me.
They jumped. Oh, that's so great. Isn't that great? That's the equivalent of, in a second, you were just scared. It was like somebody was picking a fight with you, and you're like, oh, really? And all of a sudden, their two big buddies came out, and you're like, this might be a problem. And then the behind you, all of a sudden, 30 of your best friends showed up, and you're like, yeah, they're behind me.
It happens all the time.
It's one of those things, too, where like you in the moment, like I'm sure I wouldn't know what to do. But thinking of it later, you're like, oh, I got the perfect whatever.
Yeah.
Like I would think I would want to say something like, no, I'm telling you to shut up because I'm a comic and these people are here to see me and none of them want you to be here. It's just something.
I was sweating and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When I went with it, I'm like, well, right now I'm kind of a shade of red, you know. But so anyways, the room took care of
for
me.
Funny.
But I remembered.
Did she shut up after
She
that?
Did shut up after the whole room turned against her.
Nice.
She wasn't happy with me. Those arms were folded in front of her the rest of my asset.
The nice thing, though, is you could, if you wanted to, you could keep hitting on her and the crowd would love it. Like,
yeah,
anytime the crowd didn't give a good reaction, you're like, ah, you're all being like bitch Stacy over here.
Yeah. Here's what I would guess, though. I would guess that even though the room turned against her, she doesn't realize that, and she thinks she got her licking on you.
Maybe. I don't know. But you know what I realized, though, is that I'm a little out of practice when it comes to hecklers because I don't usually get heckled.
Yeah.
And that surprises some people. They're like, oh, you must get hecklers all the time. Like, not really, man. The thing is, when a drunk guy is at a show and he is in the mindset to heckle, there's like four dorks that are overweight with neck beards and a snarky woman on the show.
100%.
When I go up stalking the stage, 6'1" to 220, they're like, maybe that's not the guy.
Plus, like, you're super high energy. Like, you command the room.
I don't give them a pocket to do that.
Yeah, because hecklers like, A, time. They like, B, an easy target. And they like, C, somebody who they think at some point they could throw a punch at and win the fight. So, it's much more likely to get the doorman at the comedy store than they are to get you.
Right, right. And so, you know, that's why a guy will never heckle me. But I didn't think of the chaos factor.
Yes.
A 21-year-old girl with that mentality, like, I'll fuck you up. I'll fight a guy. I have brothers. I grew up with brothers. I'll fight a guy.
Yeah, in a way, there is a weird privilege to being a young, attractive girl that young, attractive men don't have, which is, societally, it's not considered couth to just punch you in the face. So there is a young, hot chick privilege that gets exposed when you get a little drunk at a comedy show.
Yeah, it's one of the many reasons I just want to quit. Oh, another reason is illiteracy. I don't know if you guys caught this, but I was accused of being a pedophile for a few minutes on earlier this week.
So were you commenting on how hot some child was, or?
Nope. Before I begin this, I just want to say how fucking sick I am of people who can't fucking read or can't read past buzzwords. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They see a word and they don't bother to read the rest
of
the sentence.
Just,
nothing. So here's what happened. I'm on the Facebooks there. I see a guy post a picture of a flyer that's been put up in a park. The flyer is rainbow colored, and it's got a silhouette of a grown adult holding a child's hand and hearts around it, and it says "Love is love" at the bottom. So I immediately assume this is about like
gay adoption,
yeah. like gay single parents, or you know. And then I see the guy just like furiously going out, like "Fuck this sick bullshit! This is sick!" And I was ready to come at him like, "You motherfucker!" And then I'm like, "But before I do, and please take note that." Before I came at someone, I made sure what I was seeing was correct.
You did your research?
I did my research. I looked closer at the fucking poster.
You're already fucking up with your online skills at that point.
Right.
You're supposed to just react.
I looked closer at it, and it's a poster for NAMBLA, which is the National Association of Man Boy Love, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's basically a pro-pedophile poster. So naturally, well, first of all, good thing I didn't attack him, because then it's like, hey, how dare you? So
you don't know his story.
You know his story. So anyways, I'm certainly glad that I didn't attack him. And I thought, wouldn't it be humorous if I had? That would be a huge misunderstanding. So I shared the guy's post with him attacking this pedophile poster, as he should. And I just told the story like, dude, for a second I thought this was about gay, like adopted, like gay parents wanting to adopt. But it's about pedophilia. I almost attacked this guy for attacking that.
Right.
I would have looked real. Boy, would I have had egg on my face. People in by the dozens started pouring in. So you're for pedophilia?
Wow.
What? No. I look right here where it says, I thought, oh, so what you're saying is, and someone actually said this, oh, so what you're saying is that in your eyes, gay parents are worse than pedophiles? I'm like, wait, what? No. And like, as I'm clarifying, it's getting worse.
Yeah, you always have to respond. So what you're saying is you can't read.
Yeah, no.
Oh. That would have been lost on this crowd.
Would have been lost. They wouldn't have been able to read that.
This is outrage culture at its worst. Just looking for something to get mad about and just
they
piling
were pouring
on.
In. People were sharing my post like, fuck this guy. He's a pedophile. I'm like, what are you talking about? It says clearly. Ah!
So I love that it wasn't even that you made a mistake. You shared a mistake you almost made.
Yeah.
It was literally like, not only can you no longer make a mistake nowadays, you can't almost make a mistake and then be honest about the mistake you almost made.
Somebody photoshopped Shore's face onto the man on the poster.
Right.
Like, look at this guy. Dude, I saw something similar. There's this troll of a comic that I've been online friends with for a couple of years now. I forget how I met her, but she's always posting these really inflammatory things. But recently one was, she posted something similar to what you're saying, where it was like this really out of context thing about pedophilia, and a bunch of comics like, that's not what that meant. It's, you know, you misrepresent it. And she's like, oh yeah, sure. Like her comeback to everything is like, uh-huh, sure. Yeah, right.
Wow.
And it's just like, you cannot reason with this type of person. It's
no,
just,
no, no. And
well, it's because their beliefs aren't associated with the facts of the world around
right,
them, right?
Exactly.
So like you either are going to try and meld your beliefs to the facts around you, or meld the facts to the beliefs that you currently have. So right. That's two types of visions of the world. Like, one is the authoritarian type vision of, hey, if I believe this, I will make it true. And right. If it's not true, I will pretend that it's true. And by the way, I can't be wrong once I've decided that. Or it's, oh shit, I made a mistake. It's like two exact examples. Ryan's exact example was not only saying, oh shit, I made a mistake, but here I'm going to share it with people. That
hey guys,
person
hey guys
never,
look how I almost fucked up.
Like, yeah. No. You and by the way, that's not the only trouble I got into with these people. Also, I did find out a kind of a neat fact that I did not know before, because I've known about NAMBLA since South Park did
South
an episode
Park, yes.
forever ago. I'm like, okay, that's an organization that of sick people that have a mental illness that pushes them towards being attracted to children, but they're trying to normalize it. That's their organization. It's a sick organization, but yeah. It exists. I found out doesn't actually exist.
Really?
NAMBLA is something that was created by trolls to try and undermine the LGBT community by saying,
really?
Look who else is a part of that community.
Interesting.
So it's people that would...
Like it never existed, or it was just really small and they blew it out of proportion?
No, it never existed.
Wow.
It was
like the Tide Pod Challenge that
we
talked about
right.
earlier.
It was meant to undermine the LGBT community. It was made by right-wing trolls going like, they're trying to put gay in the same category as pedophile.
That's super interesting.
So...
I would not be surprised. It does exist now, doesn't it? Like, I would imagine one of those things where, like, people who are like that thought that it was real. Like, okay, let's sort of make it real.
You know, I looked into it, and I didn't want to be caught Googling NAMBLA too much. But
is that why you borrowed Bobby's laptop?
They're like, yeah, we can prove Ryan's a pedophile. Look how much time he's Googling.
Look at this search history. So, but I couldn't find anything that I wasn't certain
right.
wasn't just a troll propaganda. So, I mean, maybe, but for the most part...
I mean, it would make sense if it wasn't real, because if you were somebody who was really pro-pedophilia, wouldn't you not want to be publicly associated with that, because it is a felony and a horrible thing? Like, wouldn't you kind of distance yourself from it?
Most of those guys are ashamed of it, you know? They try and hide it. You know, I'd imagine that if you suffer from that affliction, that, you know, even if there was an organization, you wouldn't want to be part of it.
I mean, that makes sense. It actually does make sense now that you say it, that it would be a fake thing. That's really interesting.
It sucks that for those guys, that they can't even discuss it. Like, because, you know, I think it's one of those things that I really wish more people would go to a therapist about it instead of, you know, acting on those impulses. Because the thing is, if you're a guy that's like, I have violent tendencies, but, you know, I go to therapy and I take medication and I don't hurt anybody.
Right.
People are like, good for you, man.
Yeah, way to solve your issue.
Yeah, but if you're like, you know, I want to fuck kids, but, you know, I take medication and I go to therapy, they're like, fuck you. Like,
you know, we talked about before, there's a kid who goes to UCLA who started like this whole group of people who are pedophiles, meaning that they are attracted to children, who never want to act on it, and how to help each other never act on it. And he takes a lot of shit, and I'm like, man, God forbid I had that desire,
right.
But if I did, I would hope I'm doing what he's doing about
right,
it.
Right.
And by the way, I am starting a group for guys who are super attracted to heavy women.
I'm starting a support group of the people that come home and find naked strangers in the kitchen.
We hang out on benches outside Lane Bryant and high five.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if someone listened to this and like and tried to spin it as like, those guys are being pro-pedophilia.
Yeah, no, I was literally thinking, someone's going to take that small clip of Shores being like, it sucks for these guys that they can't talk about. Someone's going to take that clip and be like, he sympathizes with pedophiles.
Between the poster and this, I think case
closed.
Ryan
just replies, yeah, sure, yeah.
Hey, Bobby, I wanted to get your opinion on something. Bobby, for those of you who don't know, was in a fraternity in college.
Yep,
with Fred Savage.
I was very...
No. We tried to steal the Fred Savage composite, so thank you very much, sir. He was in a fraternity at Stanford.
Yeah, get it right, man. I was very much anti-fraternity in college.
Isn't it sweet how we've made these bridges?
Yeah, it's great. there is a big trial going on right now. Okay. I forget the school, but a lot of guys are in some hot water for a hazing death.
Ooh.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. So they apparently like it took place in like the hazing took place in a basement with these pledges.
Yep. Most hazing does. And, most of my greatest hazing did.
And this guy was just like feeding them like a jug of like shit squirt top vodka.
Yeah.
You know, just pouring it down them.
Yep.
You know, and so one guy got alcohol poisoning, mm-hmm. but they made him try to climb the stairs, and he reenacted the end of The Exorcist and went all the way back down him, and then they just kind of carried him up and threw him on the couch and didn't think anything of it, and he died.
Yes.
So, Bobby.
There's video footage from the house, like,
they,
admissible evidence that they were showing of, like, look how fucked up this dude is, and you guys aren't doing anything about
it.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I know that a lot of fraternities say, oh, we don't haze. You know,
I got the shit hazed out of me.
Yeah.
I got the shit hazed out of me.
So, I mean, first of all, Bobby, give us some insight. What goes on there? Like, how much do you guys cover up versus...
Right. Well, you're not going to tell people that, like, all the hazing stuff. And I'll speak, I guess, technically, theoretically. But theoretically, you get hazed a lot, depending on what fraternity you're in and what school you go to and all that kind of stuff. I happen to be at a very, very old fraternity from a very old school and tends to...
Paddles? Did you get your bottom paddles?
No, none of that. It was really a lot of forced drinking and just making fun of you and stuff. But it tends to
be... I didn't touch one dick.
None of that stuff. It turns out the older fraternities at the older schools are usually worse because they have older traditions. However, I will say this before we get into all the stuff that they do. I think hazing is good for young men. And I know it's a controversial opinion. I know people get pissed. Oh, you're just doing this to be assholes. I hated being a part of any hazing. In fact, I purposely took myself out of that once I became in the fraternity. The only type of hazing I did was I was the guy making sure that the pledges had to clean the house, and I was pretty tough on them making sure that they cleaned the house. Well, I don't consider that necessarily that bad.
No.
I'd be demanding like, hey, this clowner isn't fucking clean enough. Do it better. That type was fine. I did not like the other type of hazing.
And do it in a clown suit.
But I will say this, when I was going, I didn't like performing it to other people, but when I was going through it, it does bond you really closely to the guys you're with very quickly. It's why we do it in the military. It's why we do it in sports teams. Hazing is incredibly effective in groups of young men to get them to bond quickly against a common opponent. Getting you to go through shit together makes you friends very, very fast.
Oh, yeah. Stockholm Syndrome is great for bonding. Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic. Yeah, you traumatize them, and then they identify with you.
It's steroids for friendship. And it is there, and you can deny it all you want. It is there. It is effective. And you know what else? When you're a piece of shit kid who just is 18, 19 years old, and you're full of yourself, you should get taken down a few pegs every once in a while. That's really fucking healthy for you.
Oh, yeah.
And people who never get that, you can tell later in life. So whether you're on the wrestling team and you had a coach screaming at you, or you got hazed by some dude in a fraternity, I'm sorry. It is good for you to some extent. Now, it can get into negative territories, and it can be really shitty too. One of the things I was always terrified of when we would be doing hazing is this exact thing. Statistically, you haze hard enough.
Some people finding out that you killed a kid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Statistically, if you do it hard enough and long enough, there's going to be problems. People are going to get hurt. Things will happen. It wasn't necessarily because I was getting hazed, but I got super drunk at a particular fraternity event when I was a pledge. I got super drunk, and then we started doing this thing called the flying squirrel, where you'd run and dive and grab your ankles and slide on your chest, and I violently dislocated my shoulder in a brutal, brutal fashion.
And he loves those guys now.
Right? It wasn't necessarily their fault. That's my own kind of shit.
He's really into base jumping.
Right. So shit happens. I was always super worried about this, but here's the solution. In that thing, there's the dual sides of it. You are hazing this guy not just to be an asshole. You're hazing them because you're trying to bond them to the guys next to him. You're trying to make him go through shit. You're trying to make him essentially better and stronger in the end. Part of that is watching out for that dude afterwards. So yeah, you haze the shit out of him, but guess what? Maybe he drank his weight in alcohol, and guess what? They made me do that too. But you know what else happened? While I was violently throwing up on the couch, there was an older guy from the fraternity over my shoulder the entire time, making sure that I didn't die in my sleep.
Yeah.
And you can't have the first part without the second part. Like, you need to have the hazing mixed with the looking out for you aspect of it. And I knew the entire time I was in that fraternity that all this shit was going on and it sucked and, oh man, I might be in really bad shape. But I always knew there was somebody looking out for me who cared to make sure I wasn't going to die. And it sounds like these guys missed that very basic element of what they're trying to do.
Yeah, okay. I still pass on the whole thing. I think it's stupid.
I mean, it is stupid now. So like as a grown man, it is. It is very different when you're 18 or 19 years old. It is a very different thing. And I think it forms a lot of One, it takes your ego away. You think you're tough shit. You're going to act all big in front of these dudes that are your pledge brothers. Well, how are you going to act big when somebody is forcing you to drink until you vomit or something? Like, getting taken down a few pegs is good for 18-year-old boys. I don't care what the fuck you say. It's good
for
us.
No, it is. I agree. I just think that hazing is just such a broad term. There needs to be a lot more like, all right, let's not do this type of bullshit anymore.
Sure. There's certain things that
because
shouldn't be on
I
there.
Promise you, that chick at Ryan's show last week was in a sorority, never got hazed, yes. But she's in charge of hazing all the other chicks.
Well, they don't haze. Sororities don't really haze. They just
check out
don't.
Pornhub, brother.
What they do is very, very different. They're regulated differently. They're under different rules and regulations and stuff. It's a night and day thing. And
I saw a quote unquote hazing of a sorority when we used to tape in downtown.
They make them sing. That's their haze.
Yeah, like they were all, you know, those for those of you living not in San Diego, this is going to sound wildly stupid to you because it is, but in downtown, there's these bicycle bars. Like, you get on, it's a bar that's on a series of bicycles, and you pedal while you drink at this bar. It's ridiculously stupid.
And it fucks traffic up, and I hate it.
Fucks traffic up. I don't know what's enjoyable about pedaling while you're consuming alcohol. Those are two things that shouldn't be next to each other.
Right.
But anyway, I saw their hazing. It was they put them on this alcohol barge, and they made them sing like a Lil Wayne song as they traveled down the road drinking and on their merry way. I'm like, oh no, that is not the hazing that I'm familiar with.
No, and you know what? I look back on those times that I got hazed. I would not want to do it again, but I look back with pretty fond memories. Like, there was some shit that was just kind of fun, or you just kind of think, you're like, whoever thought of this is clever as fuck. Like, there are times they'll get you shithouse drunk, pile you all into a van, drive you out into the woods, drop you off, and go find your way home. That sucks when you're like technically in the moment, but you think back on it really fondly. When I think back, it feels like the movie Stand By Me. Like, we're all tripping through the woods, wasted. Like, fuck, is that a light over there? Do we head that way?
Well, I'm glad you look back on hazing fondly, because Ryan and I have a surprise for you.
Oh, no!
We've got a barrel of vodka, 7 rolls of duct
Let's
tape.
Do
we're
it.
Gonna have an afternoon.
Let's
the,
do it.
The wrestling team just shaved my head and said, okay, go home, faggot.
Yeah.
that's the hazing I got.
And also, some of it was, hey, you know, you gotta clean all these toilets, you gotta do this. But I also think that some of that is, hey, guess what? This is a house that you are using. You haven't paid rent on. Somebody else had to clean this before you. You should have to clean it too. I have no problem with bottom guy on the totem pole having to put his time in to be part of something. If you're in part of a sports team, that's how it is. You know who carried the starters bags on the boxing team? The guys who wanted to be the starters, the third string. You know why? That's fucking hazing. That's how it is. Like, that is fine with me, because to me, what you're saying isn't, I'm a different person than you. You never get to do this. What you're saying is, you're at the low level. At one point, you'll be at the top level, and somebody will be carrying your bag.
So, Bobby, what do you think should happen to these guys?
They should be tried. You can't.
Well, yeah, they're going to be tried, but what do you think an appropriate punishment
I think the whoever was in charge, there's usually a pledge.
Bobby would haze them.
Yeah. There's a pledge master.
The judge pulls up a big bottle of vodka.
The pledge master is the guy who's in charge of the hazing on any given night, and so he's also in charge of the pledge of safety. I think the pledge master and whatever pledge who passed away, I think his big brother, who's also the guy who's supposed to be in charge and looking out for that individual on any given day, should be charged with murder.
Okay.
Like I said, I support hazing.
Manslaughter, murder.
Yeah.
In the first?
No, because the first would be premeditated. But
what about, like I said, this video, what about all the guys who like walked by the dude and looked at him and kept walking, or like went to shake him and just kept going?
I would have to see it and make that analysis to each one. But what I would say is, I do attribute responsibility to those people. I had little brothers in the fraternity, and the same thing happened. If somebody got super drunk and passed out, half the time I wouldn't let him go home. Come on, you're sleeping in my room tonight, because I want to make sure you don't throw up and choke on it. If you are going to do that to somebody, while I do support hazing, if you are going to haze somebody, there is somebody there that has to be responsible for that person's well-being. And if you break that responsibility, then you've murdered that person.
I just want to get you to admit on the podcast that you ordered the Code Red.
So, have you ever known anyone that died from alcohol, by the way?
It's very rare, actually. It's incredibly rare. Alcohol poisoning is rare. I've had alcohol poisoning
I've had it too, but so, okay, I know how you die long-term through liver cirrhosis, and I know about, you know, choking on your vomit is a more common way.
That's really common.
But what happens to your body that you die from alcohol
poisoning?
It's
the same as an overdose of anything, you know.
Does your heart stop?
The dose makes the toxin, right? So, like, anything will kill you in big enough doses. There's even fraternity deaths from making people overdrink with water.
Water,
because
you
don't get enough salt, so your neurons can't fire, and then you actually die. So you can die from an overdose of anything. In that case, it was alcohol. What should have happened, and I just want to get back to that, is this kid goes upstairs, he starts vomiting. Either the pledge master or that kid's big brother should have been sitting there and going, hey, there's something wrong. Hey, there's something wrong. I don't know if he died. Did he die from actual alcohol poisoning or from choking on his vomit?
I think it might have been the blunt force from it was like tumbling down the stairs. Okay. Mixed with
it wasn't choking on his vomit.
Okay. No, you know, plus alcohol. I'm not really clear on,
there should have been a
on
guy,
the cause of death.
There should have been a guy there who was responsible for that individual who was semi-sober, who could make the decision, and who eventually said, this has gotten out of our hands and we're taking him to the hospital. I have taken kids to the hospital before.
Okay, so and you've made that
yes,
call.
Absolutely.
But you've probably also laughed at people who are puking. Like,
oh, yeah.
You fucking
yes,
pussy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
My favorite is if you can get a bunch of them puking in the same trash can at once and one pukes on the back of the other one's head. That's really funny. But you know what? Again, it's one of those things. When it's in good fun, it's in good fun. When it's to kind of stimulate that brotherhood, I get that. You have to do it responsibly. It's the same thing as owning a gun. Are you allowed to own a gun? Yeah. Are you allowed to just shoot it in the air on New Year's Eve? No. And if a bullet falls down on somebody when you're doing that, you should get charged with murder. So if you are doing something that is inherently dangerous and puts somebody else's life at risk and they're putting their trust in you, it is your responsibility to make sure nothing happens to them. I will say this. For all the stuff about fraternities hazing and stuff, I didn't get hazed. Nothing. Nothing as bad as if you go to the Panhellenic fraternities.
What's that?
What?
The Panhellenic fraternities are the racial fraternities, the black fraternities, and the Asian fraternities.
Dude, I saw them at San Diego State. They were branding each other with
yes.
hot pokers
yes.
and shit. I'm
so,
serious.
So that is where you get the brands, the caning, and the whips. Those guys go through shit that I would never be able to go through. You have no idea. They go through things that makes Marine Corps boot camp look easy.
No, I was walking to class when I was at San Diego State, and like
some guy handed Ryan a brand and said, "Here."
Yeah, there was, and there's these guys that were in their full fraternity gear. They had football helmets, and they were cracking each other over the head with them. They were taking turns on each other. I'm like, what? Somebody stop them. What are they doing? They're like, no, that's part of their thing. I'm like, ah!
So the way it works is normally, like, the old fraternities, like old school-type fraternities, are governed by a group called the Interfraternity Council, the IFC, and they have rules that will kind of make it so that if something like this happens, you lose a charter and your national organization is angry. But the other ones, like the black and Asian fraternities, they're run by a different group called Panhellenic, and they don't give a fuck. It's fucking the Wild West out there. And I have met numerous people. I remember meeting a dude on the boxing team. You know, you take your shirt off when you're working out sometimes. He took his shirt off, and he literally had cane marks across his back.
Jesus,
not
man.
Cane marks like he got beat yesterday. Cane marks like the scars of something that happened 2 years ago. And he was an Asian guy. He's like, yeah, that's what they do, man. I saw numerous people with brands. Like the Panhellenic guys, they don't fuck around. That shit is real.
Weird that you don't hear about more deaths from
there
that.
There are. Most of the deaths are actually Panhellenic fraternities.
Really?
The vast majority of them are. So the drinking deaths are kind of mixed back and forth, but the ones where the guy got the shit beat out of him, got punched in the head. There was one recently where a kid got a cinder block broken over his head. I don't
Jesus
even have to read
Christ.
It. I'm like, oh, that's a Panhellenic.
There's a frat when I was going to SDSU that shut down because they were operating a Coke selling ring.
They all sell Coke.
No. A gang infiltrated this fucking fraternity and used them as like a storefront to sell their way. When they got raided, they found like automatic weapons. Like it seems that like some like Uyghur kid, privileged kid that's in a fraternity at San Diego State wanted to be like gangster and get some street cred. So he befriended a gang, and they're like, by the way, you're doing this for us now. He's like, and then they just took over this fraternity. And like half of the people in this particular fraternity was criminal justice majors.
Oh, nice.
And in the paper, like there, one of the guy, while in cuffs, was like, will this affect my criminal justice career? They're like, I'm afraid so.
I will say this is kind of an unspoken rule that every fraternity has some guy you can go to get drugs, whether you want to call them a drug dealer or not. And in fraternities, your position is the Greek alphabet. So the president of the fraternity is referred to as the alpha. The vice president is the beta, et cetera, all the way down. And we usually refer to the guy who sells the weed as the Omicron. And he is the guy. So if you went up to any fraternity and were like, hey, can I speak with the Omicron?
This is all very complicated.
You will find the guy that you need to buy your drugs from. And I will also say that fraternities frequently use drug selling in order to raise funds. So, for instance, if you're like, you look at your budget and your guy's like, guys, we're really in the red. We lost a lot of money on some recent events we did. It is not uncommon, and this didn't necessarily happen that I saw in a fraternity, but I was around other fraternities that did, for them to go, okay, well, let's look at our funding. Okay, we can buy a kilo of Coke. That'll make us 10 grand. Let's go do that.
Oh, wow.
Next week, when we meet to record, Bobby's going to have like a brand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, guys, I need to retract some of that stuff I said last week.
Also, I'm in a black fraternity now. I'm DJ Qualls from the movie Road Trip.
All right, before we go, a couple chances to catch me do some stand-up if you're interested. I'm going to be at Winston's in Ocean Beach on Friday, August 10th. That's Winston's in Ocean Beach, Friday, August 10th. And also, I'll be hosting my quarterly show at the Burning Beard Brewery on August 28th. We're bringing in a great headliner for that one, so check those out if you feel so inclined.
I'll be at Madhouse Comedy Club August 10th and 11th if you want to do something there.
Two shows a night, right?
Yep.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
You have a bad penis and you're going to be a horrible human.
Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Ooh, 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 time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing.